Hi, this is Ryan, and I just want to warn you that this is the Welcome to PaizoCon seminar. I am releasing it because I release everything we record, and I recorded it because I try to record all of the seminars. Came really close this year. But honestly, this is not the most engaging seminar you will listen to. If time is tight and you don't have time for 50 plus hours of seminars in the next several weeks that I'll be releasing these, then this is the most skippable seminar on the slate. This is good if it's 2019 and you are about to go to your first PaizoCon and you want to know what to expect. Great. Otherwise, this is a useful seminar for people that are currently attending PaizoCon 2018, but you are listening to this over a week after that convention is finished. If you still want to listen to it, more power to you. But if you've just downloaded this, you know, out of habit, ask yourself if your hour could be better spent, I don't know, listening to another podcast. Just being honest, and with no offense meant to Eric Mona and Sarah Marie, it's a pretty dry seminar of minimal value outside of people that are in the room. With that said, enjoy! This is No Direction's PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage. PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage was made possible thanks to the support of the Roll for Combat podcast, as well as the dedication of our team of volunteers. Due to possibly questionable language, this panel is rated Sorry Ryan.
Sorry Ryan.
Sorry Ryan.
Hi everybody.
Hey. Hello.
Welcome to PaizoCon! Yeah. Alright, that's it!
I give it an 8.
Alright, good, yes. Well, this is the 11th PaizoCon that we've done. It started by a handful of fans, including Tim Nightingale and Liz Quartz. Got together on the Paizo message boards and said, you know, it'd be really fun for everybody to meet in person. And the very first PaizoCon that we had was in the basement of a La Quinta Inn, about a room this size. And as I recall, there were also view-obstructing pillars in the middle of that room as well. So it's a tradition that has gone on more than a decade here at PaizoCon. And this is now our fourth or fifth hotel, and so we've been here for about 3-4 years now, and this is, I think, going to be our home for at least a little bit longer. So how about, before we get started, if you guys could give us a show of hands of who's been to PaizoCon before in here. All right, let's do it the other way, which is the smarter way anyway. Who hasn't been here? Okay, great. So a lot of you. Well, a few years back, Sarah Marie and I were talking. And we said, you know, it'd be really neat to, right at the beginning of the con, have a get-together, particularly for folks who maybe haven't been here to the show before, to just kind of go over some of the stuff that's happening at the show, go over a little bit about the hotel, a little bit about some of the cool little getaways near the hotel, because as awesome as PaizoCon is, there may be periods of time where you just kind of want to get some space, maybe get some food above and beyond what's available in the hotel. So we'll give you some thoughts on that. Sarah Marie here, who runs our customer service department, is also basically runs PaizoCon. So a big round of applause for Sarah Marie. Sarah Marie, I mean, the whole staff comes together to work hard on this whole thing, but Sarah Marie has been organizing the games and getting the event lottery put together. And this is a process that, quite honestly, started months ago. It takes a lot of effort. You know, we have come a long way from the La Quinta Inn. We're looking at probably over 700-800 people at the show this year. We've sold more tickets to the show this year than ever before. We've sold more banquet tickets to the show than ever before. So, it's getting huge, you guys. Sarah Marie, you want to talk a little bit about...
First I'd like to, real quick, give a shout out to the customer service team who, I don't know if you noticed this morning, the registration line went pretty quickly. We, despite having a record number of badges, did it in 35 minutes, yes. Which is record time, so...
That is so awesome.
Yeah. I really good people on my team, so if you see them, say give them a thank you, because they work really hard for that.
One of the things that I think has always been key to PaizoCon is the spirit of that very first one. There were about maybe 8 or 9 of us on the staff who were in a little room like this, including Lisa Stevens, our CEO, me, James Jacobs, others. Sarah Marie hadn't quite joined us at that point. But we there was a lot of camaraderie there. And so ever since then, even though after the first year it was like, whoa, there's a lot of people interested in PaizoCon. Hey, Paizo, maybe you guys should do this. And we're like, yeah, maybe we should. We want to keep that same spirit of sort of accessibility to the staff and just friendliness at the show. So you'll see all the people who are dressed like us in blue shirts. We are all Paizo staff members, from the editors and the writers to the people who work in the warehouse to the people who work on a finance team. There's all everyone is here. Ain't no party like a PaizoCon party, because a PaizoCon party is mandatory. and so we're all here, and you can just come up and chat with us. One of the things, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but to this end, one of the things we do at the banquet on Saturday night is we make sure there's at least one Paizo person at every table before the attendees come in, so you guys can kind of scout out. Maybe there's a person that you've been eager to meet, or maybe you just like want to just chat randomly with somebody. It's kind of cool. It's a little bit of a lottery, and you never know who you're going to get, and you might end up finding out things about Paizo that you never knew you were interested in, like how does the finance department work and all that kind of stuff. But also you might get some of the writers and stuff, and so they'll tell you a lot about whatever you really want to know. And that's kind of true whether you're at the banquet or whether you're at a seminar or whatever. Obviously, this year there's a lot of people who are going to be interested in second edition Pathfinder and the playtest that we're debuting here at the show. Most of the people at Paizo have either worked on or played the second edition game, so you know feel free to ask them questions. There's certain things that we've been instructed not to say, but there are other things that people be happy to share with you. So don't be shy. We're here to make sure you guys have a good time, and we'll take questions at any time. Yes, sir.
What were you instructed not to say?
That's like when you're playing a Pathfinder Society scenario and they've got the little bullet point Q&A things for the NPC, and people will say, if I were smarter, which question would I have asked? Is there any question for which you have information that I have not yet asked? There's some stuff to be serious. We've debuted about 5 classes on the blog so far. We've talked about a lot of different things. And in fact, there's a blog going up tomorrow that was written by the participants in a gaming tournament here locally called the Gauntlet on our team. And each one of them does some reveals about the game. And because they're not, except for Mark Seifter, on the design team, they're really like free flow, kind of like, I've been playing in the game and here's some cool stuff my fighter can do. And the publisher, I mean, is like, wow, we just dropped a lot of facts in here, but it's great. It's like a really informative blog. So I would check that out. So mostly it's stuff that we just haven't totally prepared the context for yet. There's a lot to chew on. It's 432 pages. So, but you can play it here. So, and people will answer just about any questions. I think we're not talking about multi-classing yet. I think we're not talking about a couple of other things. I don't want to tell you. All right, so let's see. So today is Friday. This is the first day of the show. Show goes until Monday. This year, because you demanded it, I guess, we're also doing 24-hour gaming in the main ballroom, which is primarily where the Pathfinder Society stuff is going to be. It's also on Saturday night, we clear it out for the banquet. So if you are going to be at the banquet, that'll be right in that same area where the organized play stuff is. Individual lottery-style games are in the hallway, basically directly above that on the second floor. Are those the Cascade rooms? You'll have to go up a stairway, and then it's just kind of off to your left, a long hallway. Really great space for private gaming. Also a really great space later on in the day or in the con, if you're looking for just like, hey, let's run an RPG or something like that. We do have a big open gaming area, and first come to the scheduled games, obviously, in those rooms. But there are times, I think particularly later in the evening, where those rooms are not scheduled. We have those rooms, as part of our deal with the hotel. So if you're looking for a nice getaway with a good table and chairs that's sort of optimized for RPGs, that's a great space to go. Do you want to talk a little bit about the open gaming?
Well, all those Cascade rooms have little sign-up sheets in them that will show when the room is being currently used. And if you want to plan something for Saturday or Sunday, you can go in there and reserve that space for yourself.
Nice.
And the Evergreen tables have those all as well.
And that's that's a debut at this year.
No,
right?
We've done that a couple times. Jeff said that too. He's like, oh,
it's the first time I've heard.
Sarah Marie is so good at her job, like you won't even know she did an improvement until years later. And then she'll be like, people have been enjoying it all along. Yeah, well, that's really great. And so so you might want to do that. Also, you know, really honestly, any table around the con, you know, there's hallway couches and things like that. Mm-hmm. Those places will have games on them, you know, most of the time. And I have found, probably it helps because I'm wearing one of these shirts, but I have found people are really open. You know, if you're like, hey, what are you guys doing? A lot of people just say, hey, come on, join us. It's a real friendly environment. Yeah. People are here to game primarily. There are other things people are here for. The bar, as you saw, is on the approach between the front desk and our registration area. You know, they've got a nice selection of libations, and they've got some food there as well. You can get, there's a little coffee stand, right? You know, I see some of you probably already have that, but that's a nice way to refuel. Mm-hmm. What about the open gaming room? That's in the Evergreen rooms.
Yep. Yeah. There's about 8 tables that are kind of open for gaming. There's nothing scheduled there. Some of the other tables over the weekend might have a few things scheduled, but Evergreen 3 and 4 has a bunch of tables that you can just go up there and play and have fun. And the great thing about being at PaizoCon is that you are surrounded by people who enjoy playing games. So if you need to find somebody, there's 700 other people around that probably want to play.
A lot of the games at the show are ticketed events, and so you should have gotten your tickets and stuff when you signed up. And there is a trading post for the tickets right near registration. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right by the Delves, yep. And you don't have to leave anything. You can just go take a ticket. You don't have to trade. And people throughout the weekend have realized that they've overbooked themselves or they've had another opportunity come up, so There'll be some gems there for sure that you can snag if you're looking for something else to do.
So if you find yourself on the flip side of it, maybe you know, a friend you haven't seen in a couple of years invites you to dinner and you got to bail on an event or something. You know, we'd prefer that you not bail on events that you've pre-signed for, but it will happen. And one way you can kind of make it easier for everybody is to make sure you throw your ticket on that table, because there really are a lot of people. That lottery can get pretty competitive, and there's a lot of people who maybe didn't get a chance to do a fun game with one of the Paizo staff or one of our special guests or something, and that's a good way to get in if you haven't already registered.
I have a question.
Yes.
There's a game or an event that you did not get into, particularly like a game. Can you go just observe and watch?
Yeah, yeah. Generally speaking, it'll be up to the GM and the players. Sometimes if there's just a ton of people, it's like some people want a more intimate atmosphere to their game, but I would say a huge majority of the time the answer to that's going to be yes. There are also some what we call celebrity games on the schedule that are designed to be observed by a crowd. And so, for example, we've got Jason Bowman's going to be doing a special playtest game with like Paizo staff and stuff, and special guests as the players. And there's, you can come and watch that, and it's extra funny. And Greg Vaughn does a similar thing that he's done kind of every year. I've got a game on one of the nights, Sunday night, called Dragon Strike, which is an old, like, 1993 super earnest TSR board game with a VHS component. And so last year, a bunch of friends and I sat down right outside the bar, and I got in character as the GM. Anyone familiar with this video? Okay, so imagine a guy in a black turtleneck who's like the Dragon Master, and his head just appears, and he goes, "Are you feeling brave tonight? How brave? Brave enough to take on a mighty dragon?" And then that's how he talks the whole time. So consequently, once I start, I will never break character the whole time as that guy. I got a turtleneck and everything. It's going to be great this year. So we did it in the hallway last year, and people just circled around and watched it. I'm like, I don't know, maybe people will enjoy watching that. So I threw it on the schedule, and I guess there's like 25 people signed up for it, so which means there's room, so you can come and watch that. By the way, I'm Eric Mona. I'm the publisher of the company. I guess I didn't mention that. Hi. No, thank you. So you can always watch games like that. I would say almost every single time. The one thing might get a little challenging in the organized playroom because there's like 50 games going on at once and it gets really loud and crazy. There's not a lot of room to like pull up a chair and watch, but all those private games you shouldn't have any trouble.
And if the if you show up like 5 minutes before the game is supposed to start and just kind of hang around and see if somebody doesn't show up for their game, if they're late and the GM is ready to get started, you can. Their seats kind of forfeit if they're late, so you might be able to get into a game.
I would say that has happened for my lottery games at least 50% of the time. So if there's a particular player or particular GM or you know or game that you really want, I think Sarah Marie's advice is absolutely right. Just show up. And you know, if you don't have anything else planned for that thing, the worst thing is you're going to waste about 10-15 minutes. And the chances of you getting to play are pretty high. Yeah.
So you've got a game that ends at 12 and another that starts at 12. Do they usually end a bit before
12? Yeah. GMs, okay. GMs and seminar leaders and stuff should be wrapping up everything about 10 minutes before the hour.
Okay, perfect.
And if they're not, just kind of give them a little nudge and say, hey, I've got to go.
Sarah Marie told me that it's time for you to leave. That'll work very well.
The schedule is designed to leave room to clean up your space after you're done, too, so you shouldn't be gaming up right to the end of the hour.
Perfect.
So second floor, we've got the Cascade Rooms, which are where a lot of the private sort of lottery games go. We've got the Evergreen Rooms, which is the open gaming. Beneath the Evergreen Rooms, so sort of flanking the registration area on this floor with the Organized Play PFS Room, is the Paizo Store. So we've created a fun little private Paizo Store with a whole bunch of our stuff, a whole bunch of our partner stuff. Many of our partners have little tables and are exhibiting there as well. Couple of really cool things in there, including one of my favorite little secrets of PaizoCon, which is the Reaper paint and take. Reaper's provided a number of basically free miniatures and paint, and you can just go hang out with one of their painters and just sit down and paint up a mini. Sometimes the con can get a little stressful at times, maybe, and it's a great way just to go and chill and just throw some paint on a miniature, and since it's free and nobody's looking, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad, and the person who's working the booth will teach you some techniques and stuff. So I would recommend that. We also have some cute computers set up in that room. The big thing that we're showing there is the new Pathfinder Kingmaker computer RPG. It's a very similar to like a Baldur's Gate style game, one player game based on the Kingmaker Adventure Path, and we've got essentially the latest build of that. It's working its way toward release now, but it's very much a playable game. So you can go check that out. I think we have two computers running that. We also have some computers running the Pathfinder Online MMO from a few years back. And so if you haven't had a chance to try out either of those games, that's something else you can do in the store. We also have Taylor Fisher, our guest of honor, our artist guest of honor, who worked on Starfinder and Occult Adventures and a bunch of other stuff. She's got an area set up there with some of her art, and you can talk to her as well. Yeah, question.
Are you allowed to tell us when the Kingmaker RPG will be released?
I don't know. I mean, and I'm not saying I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you. I'm saying I don't know when it's going to be released, but there's a seminar that I'm in. Not this next one, but the one after that, which is licensing, Paizo license products, and our licensing people are going to be in that meeting, and they will be able to give you a better answer to that question. I don't know. I've had PaizoCon on the brain right now. Soon. Let's see. What else?
Should we go over panels and seminars?
Sure.
So a lot of the panels and seminars, some of them will be booked full. I think Jason's playtest, the design team's panel is at capacity, but a lot of panels like this one, they'll be empty seats. You don't have to have a ticket. You can just stop by, and there's a lot of really good content there if you have any desire to learn all about the wonderful world of RPGs. There's some really good ones. I think I get really excited when people kind of want to talk about what they're passionate about. I think Crystal and Mark Moreland are doing a nostalgia in gaming and using kind of stuff that all the stuff you've grown up with and putting it into your RPGs. And there's also one.
And that's next. That's after this seminar. In this room.
And there's the science fantasy versus science fiction. And another one that I'm really fascinated by. I'm hoping I get to come and stop in and see, which is tomorrow afternoon. RPGs in social, emotional, and academic development. So if you're into that kind of little bit more stuff, then yeah, I should be an interesting topic.
Yeah, and if there's a seminar that you see on the list that you really want to go to, but you're double booked, or maybe it's during a game that you've got, there's a couple of ways that you might be able to capture that information later. Our social media team is streaming a lot of the seminars live for people who can't make it to the show, and we'll be archiving some of that stuff on YouTube. And the No Direction podcast is here, is literally here. Literally here is Ryan Costello from the No Direction podcast, and they are going to be doing audio recordings of a lot of the seminars, and they get those up pretty quick. In fact, I'm sure they'll get them up very soon, and that's a great way to kind of follow up on some information you may have missed. No Direction has been a part of PaizoCon for a long, long time, and we're always happy to have them here. So listen to No Direction, by the way, if you don't. So, yeah. Okay. Delves. Okay, that's a pretty important one, right? Yeah. So the big thing this year is, of course, the Pathfinder playtest. And so we are debuting public playing of the game here at this show. We have had it at a couple of conventions already, but they've been like retailer-focused trade show type things. This is the first time really in the world that people outside the Pathfinder office can play the game. And so we've got a couple of different members of our staff running that pretty much the whole time that the con is open. So it'll stop around dinner time. But it's going on right now. It will be going on the whole show all the way through Monday. We also have a Starfinder Delve that is going to be run primarily by members of the Starfinder team. The Pathfinder Delve is it's a demo. It's to show the different rules. You can ask questions, and it's a fun game of Pathfinder. I'm very heavily biased, of course, but I really, really am enjoying the new rules. But they are a playtest, and so we will be doing the final version of the Pathfinder 2nd Edition in 2019 in August, and that'll be based off of feedback that we get starting this August when we release the playtest version. But actually, that feedback mechanism starts on Monday, because we have a seminar for folks who have had a chance to play some of the 2nd Edition stuff at the show. Maybe you've sat at the Delve, maybe you've done a couple of Delves. Maybe you've played in some games. Some of the staff are running some 2nd Edition games. There's some PFS-style stuff going on as well. Where are you going to hear about? Yeah, I know it'll just be your first impressions, but if you've got something that you really liked, or something that stuck in your craw and you just want to tell us not to do it for sure, or whatever, we do have that seminar on Monday where we invite everybody to come and just talk to us about, you know, how they're feeling about the 2nd Edition so far, what they'd like to see, maybe what they wouldn't like to see, that kind of thing. So we take the feedback really seriously. That's kind of how Pathfinder 1st Edition started, and we're looking to repeat that process. And your guys' input is super invaluable. So we do hope you get a chance to try it out. And then if you have something to say about it, please come to that seminar and let us know what you think.
Yeah. Speaking of the playtest and the Delves, Saturday morning and Monday morning, the design team is going to be running the Delves, and I have all four of them on the schedule for that. There's only two Delve tables, which means two of them will be available to talk and answer questions and do all that kind of stuff. So if you're curious about observing that or playing in that, that's a particularly good time to do that.
And those take place where the registration tables were this morning, sort of in between the store and the organized play area. That is a game that is very much just, if you can just walk up and watch. A lot of people will be doing that. Feel free to do that. We'd love to have you see the game.
Saturday and Sunday, if any of you guys like Munchkin, they have a couple people demoing the Starfinder Munchkin, or Munchkin Starfinder, which has not released yet, so they did a Kickstarter for that, and we have that upstairs in one of the Evergreen rooms, and so if you're into that, Munchkin's a really fun game. I love it. It's one of my favorites. So I'm excited to have them here and show off that stuff.
Also, opposite the Delves in the kind of registration area, we've got a couple other partners that are set up. One is Hero Lab. They've got their whole suite of digital character creation and campaign management tools that they'd love to show you. You can also use their software to create a Pathfinder Society character, really any kind of character you need for the show. They'd be happy to take you through that. They're just all set up in their Hero Lab area, which is pretty clearly identified right by the stairs. And then next to them is our friend Ben Looms from Sirenscape, and he's got a team there as well. Sirenscape is a great sort of way to add audio dimension to your games. They've done a lot of stuff under license with us that are specifically geared towards some of our adventures. So, you know, if there's a specific monster, you can push a button and hear it roar. They've got Starfinder sound sets that emulate different ship functions and all that kind of fun stuff. Ben would be happy to show you that, or one of his folks would be happy to show you that software. I don't know if they're doing it this year, but they have periodically also brought a microphone and recorded some audio here at the show, so you could roar like a dragon or talk like a goblin or whatever, and maybe they'll throw that into an upcoming sound set. So that's a couple fun things to do right by registration.
Yeah.
Let's see, if for whatever reason you have a registration related question, now that the main bulk of the registration for the show is done, generally you'll be able to get and answer those questions in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So just talk to one of the folks wearing these blue shirts in the store and they'll be able to help you out, like if you lose a badge or, you know, whatever might come up. Okay.
Yeah.
Shall we ready to talk about eating?
Yeah.
Always.
Okay. So here's the deal. There's a fair number of options for eating around here. Many of those are here in the hotel. You've got the bar has, you know, typical sort of bar fare, burgers, stuff like that. I have found that they can get pretty slammed when the bar is really, really busy. So if you go in there and you see like every table in the bar is filled, it may take longer to get your food than the time you have allotted for that. There are faster and, with respect to the DoubleTree, probably tastier food options if you kind of leave the hotel. There's right across the very busy street, so be very careful crossing this street. It's one of the busier streets in this part of Seattle. But there's a Hawaiian restaurant that's got quite good reviews. There's a Subway, which is a Subway. there's a place called Sharp's Roaster that you may have seen. I really like that place. It's kind of like you get sandwiches, roast beef, and rotisserie chicken kind of a place. And they've got pretty good cornbread there. But the secret that they've got there is they've got this like roast beef prime rib sandwich that.
Okay.
So but here's the thing.
Last night, it's really good.
Yeah, isn't it? They do run out of it. So if you get there,
don't
like, by about, don't tell anybody else. And if you get there by about 2, they may not have it. But I strongly recommend that sandwich. Delicious. A little secret that not a lot of people know in terms of food. So here's what's not secret. Right across the street, there's a Taco Bell and a Denny's as well. There's a restaurant called 13 Coins that is kind of a Seattle institution. It's open 24 hours. It is a couple of blocks away. If you walk out of the hotel, go to the sidewalk, hook a right, it's about 3 office buildings down. And they've got everything. They've got, you know, steak, and they've got eggs, and they've got, you know, all meals all day. I've had absolutely wonderful food there, and I've had like, well, this is food there, and but it's always at the very least very satisfying, and the environment in there I think is really cool. It's like 70s airport chic, you know, in there. So it's a nice way. That's kind of a good place if you're feeling really kind of hectic and maybe there's just, you know, you don't want to be around so many people or whatever. That's a very easy escape. Nice sit-down booths, quiet, you can get a decent meal at 13 Coins.
That's what impressed me with the seating. Literally, the booths are literally, it's not a booth back, and then you can see the other table. It's literally all the way to the seat.
Yeah, it's like a private booth. It's cool. I like that place a lot. So, if for whatever reason you're feeling super adventurous, it costs about 15, 20 bucks to get an Uber to downtown Seattle. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that during the con because it'll take hours and hours. But if you are here a little bit extra time on Monday and you haven't ever been to Seattle, it's definitely worth a visit.
Mm-hmm. You can also take the light rail.
Yeah, there's a light rail station not far from here that's even cheaper. And if you do one thing in Seattle, I would say go to Pike Place Market, which is the big market. There's tons of cool shops, cool food. That you could spend a whole day there, or you could just spend a very enjoyable couple of hours there. There's lots of stuff to do. I won't be your whole Seattle Sherpa, but do get out of this This isn't Seattle, is what I'm trying to say. This is the airport. And so there is a big city that's got all the things to offer that a big city has. That's what I'm saying for Monday. Another thing on Monday that I'd like to talk a little bit about is there's a couple of neat things happening on Monday. In addition to the feedback seminar for second edition that I mentioned and your last chance to get in some demos, including a demo run by me in the morning, then you can go to a new thing we're calling Gaming with the Pisonians. Which is, I'm super, super excited about it. I don't get to do it because I'm in a seminar during it, but it is just totally open gaming with the Paizo staff. We've asked every Paizo staff member who is not on a seminar or running a delve at that point to head up to that booth, and we're just going to throw down some board games and just hang out. And so it should be super informal. A couple of my editors are bringing a Nintendo Switch. I'm going to probably project some Mario Kart. Oh, it's okay. The Mario Kart's going to be here?
Olympic One.
So if you like to play Mario Kart and do some video games with people, you can do that. If you want to play just whatever, little board games and stuff, you want to bring a game. We basically, like I said, the part of the appeal of the show has always been the accessibility of the staff and the ability to play with the staff. And so we wanted to kind of end the con. Instead of it just sort of whimpering out as everyone's checking out, it's like, come on by for one last experience. I'm actually very, very excited about this. So I think that it could be a really fun thing. And it's the first time we've ever done it. So you can check that out and be there at the beginning. After that, technically after the show is over, I have a tradition that goes back to the PaizoCon 2, which is I run a miniatures trading party, after party, in the hotel bar. So I brought a whole bunch of Pathfinder Battles and other little gaming figurines that I don't really want. A lot of other people have as well. And we sit down and just kind of put out our wares. And people are like, I'll take that bugbear for two demons or whatever. And it's super fun. The only trick there is that it is in the bar. So we ask that people are participating by, you know, a soda or a beer or a sandwich or something like that so that we can justify our taking up of their tables. But that's been going on for a long time, and a lot of people got minis in their bags, and that ends up fueling some of that as well. So if you didn't have minis, you might want to look at your boxes that you got as part of the swag bag, and there may be a couple in there that don't light you on fire. You might be able to bring those to the thing and make a quick trade. What else, Sarah Marie? Okay. We got, how about questions? Yeah. No, not explicitly, but anyone will be happy to sign anything at any time.
Yep.
You got to hunt people down. I think that Gaming with Pisonians place on Monday is probably a really good bet. The banquet's a really good bet because everyone has to be there. 6:30 this morning when we all had to be there for registration was a good time. You're really happy. Happy to do anything. Everyone's ready and happy to do whatever. Most of us are carrying around pens. Any other questions just about the show, about, I don't know, Westworld? Yeah. That doesn't look like anything to me. We've announced all the core classes. So they're all the same core classes as in first edition plus the Alchemist. So there'll be 12 classes in the second edition core rules. Yes. That is an interesting question, and the answer is not in the core rule book. So one of the things that my team is engaged in right now is kind of charting out the path for delivering some of that other content. One of the things that we want to be careful not to do is not just repeat exactly what we've done in the past. So, and I mean that more in terms of books. So like if you look at, you know, Pathfinder was an offshoot essentially of third edition D&D. And so when we were sitting down and saying, okay, what kind of books are we going to do for Pathfinder? A lot of people are like, well, we could do, you know, the Manual of the Planes type book. We can do Oriental Adventures, and we can do this and that that's already been done in some cases three times already. And I felt pretty strongly that we didn't want to do that. So we did other things. We will be doing other things as well. There's going to be new stuff with second edition, but there's also a lot of old classes and archetypes and things that people really, really like, and we're going to be getting to that stuff as quickly as we can. Some of, now don't read into what I'm about to say because I'm not trying to map the Blood Rager to this, but there are some things that were easy to achieve one way in first edition that there might be better ways to achieve in second edition. So for example, I wouldn't say that we're like looking to make a whole bunch of classes archetypes, but some of those really niche-y ones, the core classes themselves are so much more versatile in second edition than they were before, that there may be ways to kind of make a Blood Rager character type much, much more easily than there were in the past. So the advanced class guide classes in particular were like hybrids of two core classes, and since they're so heavily based in at least one core class, some of that stuff, and I'm not saying we wouldn't do a Blood Rager class, but I'm saying, we might be able to emulate that a different way, some of those powers. So you might, and while you're waiting for us to do a Blood Rager class, which might take a year or two, you might be able to make a very similarly themed character just by picking different feats and doing some multi-class type of stuff. So, we're not supposed to talk about the Blood Rager. Okay. Other questions? Wow. All right. Yes, sir.
Will there be a chance to get you design something after the...
Yes, you. Me? Sure, of course. I will steal Sarah Marie's pen right here and be happy to sign whatever you'd like.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. What else do we want to talk about? Do we forget anything about this wonderful show?
You
talk
about the puzzle hunts and stuff?
Oh, no. That's a great thing to talk about. Jason Keeley and Joe Pacini, two of my developers on Starfinder, have put together the PaizoCon puzzle hunt. This started last year, and this year it actually made its way into the on-site book. And it's a bunch of different puzzles that you can participate. It starts here on page, okay, there's no page numbers, but on this page. And, we don't really know how to make books. So anyway, there's also little handouts and things by registration that work with this. And Joe and Jason are scheduled, I think, every day at like 5 or something for turn-ins of the sheets and Q&As about the puzzle hunt. Super fun. There's a trivia contest at the end of the banquet. And so even if you didn't go to the banquet but you want to participate in the trivia contest, you can do that. We are trying to wrap up the banquet in about an hour, hour and a half this year. We'll see. But the trivia happens right after that. There's prizes. That has been going on again since the second PaizoCon, so long-running tradition. There's teams and stuff like that, but just come on board and we'll put you with the team, and it's fun if you're really into that. There's also that Inspire Courage bardic performance that's going on at Saturday night after the banquet. Friday night, tonight, I will be joining the Glass Cannon podcast guys, who are our other guests of honor, and they will be playing with me, with Jason Bowman as our GM, the final probably 4 hours or so of the Crypt of the Everflame demo. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to listen to that. How many people in here are familiar with the Glass Cannon podcast? Okay, cool. So we, right after Toy Fair in February, Jason and I went over there in New York, and we went and sat with them, and Jason ran Crypt of the Everflame, which is the very first Pathfinder First Edition adventure that we published, and he ran it more or less on the fly with second edition rules. So what he had was he'd already kind of prepped all but one of the stat blocks, which he forgot to do and had to do live, which is hilarious. And he had that going, but otherwise we just ran it right out of the module, and it really shows how, even though there are little mechanical improvements and things like that, the Pathfinder game is still a Pathfinder game. I mean, it sounds in many ways like a normal session of Crypt of the Everflame. However, it's with the Glass Cannon podcast guys and me, so it's super hammy and lots of weird voices and stuff like that. We were meaning to do a 4-hour game with them Jason likes to talk, and it went like 7 hours. And so we got so close to just finishing the module, we're like, let's do it at PaizoCon! And so tonight at, I don't know when exactly, 7, we'll be doing that. We'll be finishing it up. So my character, Grellin the Green, hopefully will survive against the Crypt of the Everflame. Yes, sir?
Are you recording that?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that the Glass Cannon guys will be recording it and releasing it as the seminar. They're also pretty close after this seminar. At 11, they've got a two-hour Cannon Fodder live show they're doing with interviews from the staff and stuff like that. So you can go check that out. Yeah, Ryan.
So the Glass Cannon stuff's going to be a Patreon exclusive.
I think that might be true, some of it. But I think... I think that the Cannon Fodder, I don't know. I'll have to ask them. I'm really not sure. I'm pretty confident, though, that the Everflame thing will be public at some point.
The first parts are.
If they feel otherwise, it'll be an interesting conversation. So, but they are doing some stuff here at the show that I'm sure will be Patreon only. Yeah.
A bit of an old sector.
Great. Those are my favorite.
I know you guys have a bunch of unique business cards. Are you keeping those on you?
I mean, that's going to depend on the person, but yeah, a lot of people
have them delivered here. So
oh yeah, that's
everybody
right.
Should have their new ones.
Yeah. Yes, people should have their business cards. And what he's referring to is all of us, our business cards have a different image on the back. You know, we get to pick what we do. It's on the front. On the front. What's that?
Paizomon.
Collect them all. Mine is Karzug. I'll let you read that in as whatever you want. Frasman's appropriate. So you can kind of learn a little bit about each of us by what we picked on our business cards. Other questions? Any other words of wisdom?
Not really. Have fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Question in the obstructed seats.
So the kind of official end time is about 2:00, and that's how long we have the rooms for. So it probably won't extend past 2:00. Just a lot of the people who are running events and stuff, and a lot of the staff are leaving about that time. So part of it's a matter of GMs, and part of it's a matter of not having the space reserved anymore.
That said, I have been here at the hotel as late as 7 or 8 at night on Monday before, just because it takes a while to get everything.
Yeah.
And people are gaming all over this damn hotel, even if they're not supposed to be. So there's lots of stuff to do, especially if you're brave enough to walk up to someone maybe you don't know and say, hey, are you guys running a game? I'd love to play. People will generally probably find a game not too difficult. Final things is just a little bit of self-care. I think that's always really important at a con. Don't neglect sleeping. It's really easy to get into a game that runs till 3-4 at night, and you know, you might have a commitment as early as, I don't know, 6:30 the next morning. So be careful, you know, and don't be afraid to take a nap or something like that. Don't skip your meals. It's really important to eat at cons. Really important to drink water and wash your hands and stuff like that. You'll be meeting a lot of people, and you never know. There's people coming from all over the country with all kinds of fun passengers. Just have a great time. We're really thrilled to have you here. Welcome to PaizoCon. I hope you guys have a wonderful time. We usually do, so I hope that you do as well. And feel free if you've got other questions. Sarah Marie and I will be here for another couple minutes. Enjoy the show, you guys.
Thank you for joining us for another PaizoCon 2018 seminar recording. Special thanks to the KDCon team, including Justin Sluder, Ryan Hiller, Stephen Glicker, and the entire Roll for Combat crew. No Direction's PaizoCon coverage would not be possible without their tireless effort. To find this and other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit nodirectionpodcast.com.